The Supreme Court hears a case involving the death penalty today, a case in which the Republican Attorney General of Oklahoma, Gentner Drummond, an avowed supporter of capital punishment, is seeking a new trial for a man on death row.
Where the death penalty is still an option, we need to have absolute confidence that the defendant was given a fair trial.
NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg has the story.
The case before the Supreme Court today is a true crime drama involving a man who's been on death row for some 27 years, always insisting he's innocent. Richard Glossop has had 9 execution dates set over the years. He's eaten his last meal 3 times. He was tried twice, had multiple appeals, including one that was heard by the Supreme Court involving the proposed method of execution. At that argument in 2015, Justice Samuel Alito made clear that he viewed the appeal as nothing more than a stalling tactic.
Is it appropriate for the judiciary to countenance what amounts to a guerrilla war against the death penalty?
Glossop lost that appeal and many others over the years, but in 2023, Gentner Drummond, the new Attorney General of Oklahoma, took office, and one of the first things he did was to review the 28 pending death sentences.
The death penalty is the most significant act that a state can take. So I read the extract on all 28. And at the end of that exercise, one jumped out.
It was a murder for hire, the prosecution's theory being that Glossop, manager of a motel, paid the handyman to bludgeon to death the motel owner, Barry Van Treese, for fear that Van Treese was going to fire him. For years, Glossop's lawyers had argued that the prosecution theory made little sense and that the prosecutors had hidden evidence in the case. So now the new attorney general was examining that evidence.
There were 8 file boxes, and I knew that we had produced 7 to the defendant. So I was curious about box number 8.
What he found in box 8 were the notes of the prosecutor, notes that showed that Connie Smotherman, the prosecutor, knew about evidence that would have helped the defense. And she not only didn't disclose that evidence, she worked at trial to present what she knew was false testimony. The only direct evidence implicating Glossop came from Justin Sneed, the man who confessed to bludgeoning Van Treese to death and was the state's star witness at the trial. In exchange, he got life in prison instead of the death penalty, observes Attorney General Drummond.
The state relied principally on this murderer to testify against Mr. Glossop. And in our files and records, it became obvious to me that the state knew that this star witness had suffered a psychiatric condition and was being prescribed a drug that would have an effect on his memory.
At that point, the attorney general hired former district attorney Rex Duncan, also a Republican, to review the case as an independent counsel. Duncan found that Glossop had been denied his right to a fair trial. Indeed, that the cumulative effects of errors, omissions, lost evidence, and possible misconduct cannot be underestimated. The state said that while it was not convinced of Glossop's complete innocence, it agreed the star witness, Sneed, had lied at the trial. Then it took the rare step of doing something that in law is called confessing error. The state admitted it had hidden critical and exculpatory evidence from the defense and that Glossop was entitled to a new trial. Notwithstanding all that, the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals, the state court of last resort in criminal cases, ruled unanimously that Glossop's lawyers knew or should have known about the hidden evidence and that Glossop thus was not entitled to a new trial under state law. The state then appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which hears arguments in the case today. With the state and the defendant on the same side, the Supreme Court itself had to appoint a lawyer to argue the other side of the case. That lawyer is Christopher Michel, a veteran of the U.S. Solicitor General's office, now in private practice.
When state courts resolve claims on purely state law grounds, which is what the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals did here, the Supreme Court, as a matter of both jurisdiction and federalism, has no authority to review those claims.
The Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals considered the merits of Glossop's case 7 times over the years, and that is plenty of due process, Michel contends, adding that prosecutors don't have the last say.
Once a final judgment of conviction is in place, the public, the legal system, the victims of crime and their families all have strong interests in the finality and the integrity of those convictions.
Representing the state of Oklahoma in the Supreme Court today is Paul Clement, who served as Solicitor General in the George W. Bush administration. He sees it as a miscarriage of justice for the state court to cling to a conviction based on false testimony and incomplete evidence.
I don't think the number of trials is what matters. What matters is whether you got one full and fair trial with all of the information that you were supposed to have access to, and with the prosecutors not soliciting false testimony. It's just frankly so shocking that the reaction of the Oklahoma court was, no, that's really not material. Thank you very much, but we're going to go ahead.
The Glossop case has been rattling around the state courts, the federal courts, and even the Supreme Court for 27 years now. So I put this question to Attorney General Drummond, who makes it a point to be in the death chamber anytime someone is executed in Oklahoma.
Does it give you pause at all that it took so long for there to be a question about this, the fair trial, when this guy has eaten his last meal three times?
And it does give me pause. Yes.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.